Let's do it on three. 1, 2, 3.
One half a step too late or too early, don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. On this team, we fight for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch.
Mean in the Green. It's right here for you.
That's football, guys.
Go Mean Green.
Welcome to the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, dedicated to students, alumni, and fans that truly bleed green. Follow us on Twitter at GoMeanGreen and visit our website, GoMeanGreen.com.
Love that!
Here we go!
Now, your hosts of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, Evan, Harry, and Ashton.
All right, hello, and thank you for joining us. This is the 163rd episode of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
This is Ashton.
We're here to talk North Texas football. Gentlemen, 2 days and a wake up.
Game time.
We are almost there. It's amazing. It's been a long off season, a lot of changes, but we are finally there.
There's just so many stories that, you know, we were talking before we started the show tonight. This first game, it's just so important. Win or lose, you know, we all want them to play well. We'd love to beat SMU at home. How huge would that be? But whether we win or lose, there's just this opportunity to learn about where this team is under Seth Luttrell and figure out, you know, who the major players are going to be. I mean, you can talk about speed and size and accolades and everything else, but, you know, when the lights go on, you find out about who really can play, and I think the fans are just can't wait because there's so many new faces, you know, to evaluate.
Yeah, there's a ton of firsts. I mean, you've got from coaching staff first outside of Seth, you know, just, you know, Graham being an offensive coordinator and, you know, just lots of guys that are really trying to make a name for themselves and prove to see if their hiring was a good idea. And then you got Alec Morris. You've got, you know, and then Seth's first game as a head coach, which I think is – you know, just like you said, we're finally going to start seeing exactly what it's going to be. I mean, what kind of offense is it going to be? You know, I mean, we kind of have an idea, but once the lights go on, then you're really going to see what it is.
Has there ever been more interest in a backup quarterback at North Texas than Mason Fine? I had to ask that question.
Okay, let's before we get into that. So earlier this week, the roster, the two deep, the final roster was released. And there was some surprises. Obviously, the Fine situation was. And everybody's talking to him. We always love the backup quarterback. We want to have a marquee player. We want to have the great hope. You know, and that's exactly what Fine is right now. He's unproven. If anybody's seen a lot of him, we'll ask Brett. But we – sorry, I was looking right at Ashton when I said that. But, no, Ashton, honestly,
I missed it.
You've seen it. You've seen him out there more than anybody else. What do you see in him?
I mean, he's got tons of athleticism. He's, you know, he can run the ball. I mean, a lot of what you saw in the scrimmage is the Mason Fine package. It's just, again, you know, Harry and I were talking about this before the pod tonight. I always try to steer away from backup quarterback talk because it's always just a sexy topic no matter who the guy is. I mean, we finally have a new guy that seems the part, and we still want to talk about the damn backup quarterback. And I know he's got a cool story. You know, he's got some things going against him. The height, you know, is... His schools in his state, you know, offered him walk on, and you know it is a cool story, but I'd much rather talk about Alec because I'm really really curious to see what happens on that's actually the thing I'm most excited about. I want to see what Alec Morris is going to do in his first collegiate start. You know, this is his first, another first. You know, not just here, this is his first start in college, right? He didn't ever start a game in Alabama ever, right?
I don't know, but he has. I mean, obviously he was in a system. He's got some mm-hmm. skins on the wall. He's got the experience. Whoever we were going to pull in here this year, JUCO transfer, I don't think we could have asked to pull somebody with more experience with a pedigree than him.
Yeah.
And not to turn this into a debate, okay? But I got to ask
going
both
down
of
that
you,
road.
I got to ask both you guys this question. Did either of you watch the Seth Luttrell press conference for the SMU game? Did you get a chance to watch that?
I watched a little bit of it.
Okay. I'm just gonna say this: the sincerity of how he seems, I mean, Latrell is talking about fine and his abilities. I guess that's what's getting me excited. It just seems very sincere. Like he really does think this kid could be. And the fact that you take a true freshman, move him ahead of a JUCO transfer to be the second string quarterback, you know, it's interesting.
And to that point, and I was kind of hoping you might bring this up if we did talk about Mason, because yeah, you're right. He was very sincere. It's also, that's his guy. Like he went out, I know Alec is too, but this is Seth's first quarterback recruit that he went out at North Texas that he's getting. This is going to be his, you know, his guy essentially. You know, you'd think. I interviewed Coach earlier in the week for a future episode of Beyond the Green, and I talked to him about Alec. And there was a lot of great things. I don't want to say what he said because I'm going to leave it for the show, but there's a lot of great things that he said that were extremely sincere that I didn't even pick up on at first seeing Alec out there. He brought up a lot of points. So I was like, oh, that is a good point. And, you know, I think that one of the things he did say is that he saw that Alec was going to walk in here with leadership abilities. You know, he got named captain. And be able to take what he learned at Alabama under captains that are in the pros now or all Americans right now. Like these, he's had a great area a place to learn from. So I really think that, you know, Seth is really excited about Mason because I think he does. I think Mason is coming along faster than he expected, like he said.
And my Mason talk is not in any way detriment to
Alec.
I love Alec. I think he gets the start, man. He's the man, okay?
It's his job to lose.
I'm thinking about Fine more in terms of the future.
Yeah,
you know
it's
I mean?
It's fun. It's
That's
exciting
the,
to have a guy like
that.
That
gets kind of exciting. But you know what? Back to my original point, you know, Alec's got a chance Saturday to just become a rock star. This is a program and a student body that is dying to have their heroes to, you know, to get behind, and we just haven't had too many of those in the last several years. So that makes Saturday such a huge opportunity.
I think that when I look at Alec and I see him at practice, I just see a different quarterback than I've seen at North Texas in the past few years. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You know, that it's the easiest. That's the first thing that always caught me. He throws a ball effortlessly. It goes farther than other quarterbacks here. It looks different. It just, again, it's not a slight on McNulty or Greer or Derek. Alec just looks more like a quarterback, and he seems to just do things differently. He's got the size. He's just got all the intangibles. You know, all the things that the measurements are there. You know, he looks like a leader. Again, we haven't seen him in a game. So, I mean, I'm going to say he looks like a leader. He seems like a leader. His teammates voted him as captain. He's only been here since the spring. He's well-liked. You know, him and Kenny did a thing for this episode of Beyond the Green this week together, and they're really close friends. And I think that's great that Kenny is, like, the grandfather of the team. You know, I mean, he's the guy that's been there the longest. And they look at him as a leader. And the fact that him and Alec are really close, I think that also speaks to Alec as well as just how he is liked and how his teammates kind of view him. And I think that I'm really excited to see the thing I'm most excited about is I want to see Alec in a game right now.
No,
more than I want to see Seth coach, more than I want to see what kind of plays Graham's going to run and Jeffrey's going to run the ball or Willie or Weish even. You know, I'm curious to see what
how
he can do.
How does he handle
offense.
That kind of pressure? Yeah. You know, how does he handle that kind of crowd noise and everything else that's going to be going on?
So. And I think it so far what it seems like, you know, I think he's going to handle it really well because he's just been around all this stuff. You know, he's got so much. And again, he could go on there and fall flat on his face, but he's you cannot have come from a better program and a better coach like around the country. Like there really isn't any. I mean, there's a couple other ones that are really good, but that's the one.
He sets up very nice for the situation.
But as a North Texas fan, I'm sorry, guys. A long-suffering North Texas fan, I've been burned on things before.
So let's talk about the backup quarterback.
In fact, that exact quote you just made about him, you could have taken that soundbite and gone back when we got Josh Greer, you know, won a bowl, was all-conference in a junior college and racked up all these yards. You know, Dejon Williams.
Yeah, but this is Navarro in junior college and Alabama. There's a pretty massive difference.
I agree,
right?
but in general, I'm just saying we, you know, let's see the game. Let's see how it goes. I mean, I hope he does great, but the proof's really in the pudding.
Future pudding.
Nice.
Man, yeah, Evan's like been working on that for the first 20 minutes of the show. That's why he's been so quiet, everybody. He's just been sitting there.
I couldn't find the app. I knew I had it
somewhere. Screwing around.
Very nice.
Well, I was getting ready for some of the other stuff. I see UNT 90s in the room, so.
Oh, man, that's great. That's really good.
No, I'm just kidding. Hey, no.
We need to do, like, the Alderaan sound from Star, like.
Yeah, I don't. Look, okay, this is a free app.
I know, I got you.
Okay, we're very limited.
Well, I could just do it.
So.
Wouldn't be a show.
What are our biggest question marks here?
Offensive line.
The offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's no secret that everybody thinks the offensive line is probably the weaker of the position units on the team right now. The defense, I think, is going to be in good shape. I mean, I really do. You know, I think the defense is got some nice pieces. And if guys like Roderick Young, Nate Brooks, and Ashton Preston build off of a very successful freshman season, Keyshawn seems super motivated. You know, another guy who got nominated captain, and he's, you know, pretty much a badass. So, you know, James Gray, you know, is more comfortable in Denton now, you'd think. I think our defense sets up pretty nicely.
Jared Combs is.
He's had a really good camp. I mean, the fact that he's listed ahead of Jarian Roberts, I think. I know Jarian was coming off the toe surgery, right?
Yeah, he had injury.
Yeah, so, but it's still, I mean, I think that that says something about Jared's ascension, you know, through, you know, the ranks, really.
What about, I mean, surprises? I mean, you've seen a lot of the things, you know, where there was a lot of concerns going into the season. We had nothing coming off the end of last season. I say nothing, we had some players, but, you know, what has been the biggest surprise coming into the first game as far as what team, what position, what group has really come together? Besides quarterback.
I think,
quarterback talent upgrade is significant without a doubt. But.
I think receiver is actually a little bit deeper than we thought it would have been. I think a guy like Willie Robinson, who's had just a really, really solid camp.
He's non-scholarship.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I said this 2 weeks ago on the podcast, you know, I would be walking around shooting during camp, and I would hear, oh, Willie, you know, like, I would just hear his name a lot, and it was always good stuff, like, nice catch, Willie, and, you know, they had a little, the ones, twos versus the twos. The first time I really noticed him, and he went out and got three or four really good grabs from your boy Mason Fine, who threw them the ball. But, you know, one was a sideline catch where he went up and kind of ripped it out of Nate Brooks' hand. Another one was a deep ball that he ran a really good route and just kind of separated really well from his defender. So, I mean, I think the receiver is better than just, you know, Tarian and, you know, Byers if you know, if everybody thinks that Byers is going to
produce. Smiley back next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think Smiley is, you know, I know that last week you said you think he might be our best all-around receiver. I think the highest ceiling, without question, is still Tarian. But, you know, if the transfer, Quentin, if he makes some strides, you know, and learns the offense, I mean, he can open up the top of the defense, and that's what you want.
All right, Ben Gooding in the chat room brings up a good point. What about the defensive line?
The surprises on the defensive line or just in general?
Just the defensive line in general. But
I think Roger, yes.
I think there was some surprises there.
I still think that Combs ascending that high over Jerry, and maybe it's just the injury. I thought that was really surprising. I mean, Jerry's, you know, been pretty successful here. He's had good numbers. He was one of the better parts of our defensive line last season, not named Roderick Young. You know, I think Malik's had a pretty good camp too. You know, I think he's kind of surprising.
Starting.
Yeah, he's starting. I mean, but, you know, they're going to do – I think they're going to do what
Tillman
did last
Johnson
year.
Is still the guy you keep hearing that, you know, Tillman Johnson is a – you know, he was good for us before he got injured.
If they're smart, they'll do that seven-man rotation and just start churning them out. So the starters – you say starters and it's not – it might not mean too much because they might come out two plays in and rotate, which they should. And
– who's from Sweetwater?
Which one's Sweetwater? That was is it a transfer?
Yeah, somebody in the room asked.
Oh,
the Sweetwater.
The receiver? Yeah, I think it's a receiver, right?
Receiver. Know, you're up there.
I mean, it's hard to figure out where they went all at the school, though. Sweetwater thinks the receiver, Wallace or Mike? No, I don't
know. Lawrence?
Mike Lawrence. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Somebody say Lawrence, yeah. I think that was I think that's a receiver. I can't really speak to that too much. I haven't seen too much of that kid. I went out there in camp and kind of focused on about 15 guys and then would just kind of follow around as I was hearing things, and I talked to Seth a little bit after each practice and try to get a finger on the pulse of, like, who's making a name for themselves. And, you know, Weiss, which we mentioned a couple weeks ago, was having a really good camp. Willie's name came up, and they liked
– And the tight end, Kelvin
– Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah. He needs to work on his route running. I see him getting not reprimanded but just corrected a lot on his route running.
And I said tight end. He's actually a wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that there's some of those injuries are going to, you know, Dillman, I think, was actually going to play a pretty decent role this year. And I don't think he's out for the year, right? I don't think he's only.
He's walking around. I don't
know. I don't, I mean, but it was a knee. So, I know, I mean, he could be walking around, but if it's scoped there, I think it was a knee. Could be wrong about that. But I think that he, and I don't think he's out for the year. But I think that, you know, there was some. We're not against the eight ball or anything. We're not losing too much depth, but I think there's some guys that, you know, I think that Dillman, being that athletic, wasn't going to fit in the offense last year because it just there wasn't a spot for him like that. But this kind of seat with like an inside, you know, a big guy on the inside, like put him out wide, like a move tight end or an H back in this offense, you know, that would have been helpful.
All right, I'm going to bring you nerds back in a little bit because you're getting real specific here. So what about the special teams? Who's returning kickoffs punts for us this year?
Man, good question. I think the number one returner.
Is it White?
No, I don't think he's the one.
Was it on that list?
Evan's playing. Let's quiz these
guys. I think Smiley's going to return punts, but he's not playing game one. So I thought that's what we were talking about. Who's going to?
Nice save.
I think he's the guy that I see a lot out there returning punts, but I think that might still be up in the air. I think that Tommy Perry's kind of been experimenting a lot because he's had some of these JUCO guys that he's had to kind of implement in there and move them around and figure out, you know. I'd like to see Willie Ivory back there personally. I don't think size is really an issue back there. I mean, they had the small kid last year that was good. I'd like to see Willie personally.
I think you got plenty of options. I mean, the question is who can hold on the ball. I mean, you could play a game like this against SMU. You
gotta be smart, yeah.
And you fumble something like that, man, the game's over. So you just gotta have someone that you trust.
So, and what about our kicking and punting game this year?
That's in a good spot. I mean,
we're still good with that.
Keen is a stud, and you know, Keen is a guy that Perry talks about. Like, if he would go gain some weight, they can be an NFL guy. Like
he's that good.
He can punt the ball.
Good.
I mean, he's
that
really
scrimmage,
good.
Scrimmage, he hit a couple punts.
And he kicks off. He's got a
like
leg.
80 yards. I mean, it was crazy.
He's special teams. He's the captain. He's a special teams captain. You know, they went with five this year, one for each position.
And let me add on special teams, all of these defensive backs we've been signing, you know, we're the deepest at defensive back we have been in 20 years.
Yeah.
But that helps you on special teams because those guys are the ones that run down, do coverage, you know, that you put on kickoff team and especially defensive guys. So I think that's an area that we could see some modest improvement.
So, okay. Oh, go ahead. You're going to
answer. No, I was just saying, I think that there's, you know, it's another thing that's really exciting about this right now is because we just have so many unknowns and we have so many new guys. We don't know what kind of coaching style that's going to be like out there. I mean, again, he could throw a bunch of new wrenches out there on game one that we don't even know.
So let's talk about what he's going to throw out there. First, let's just start of the game. We defer. We take the ball.
Do we take the ball? Is you asking
what
the question?
Do we do? What's Seth do?
I think we take the ball. I think he's going to want to score points as quickly as possible. I mean,
all
that's
right.
Easy.
So we take
tee
the
it
ball.
High and let
you
it fly, right?
Tell me how, from what you've seen, what are we going to do? What are the quick plays we're going to see run. I mean, this is going to be a total different thing for North Texas. So what are we going to see likely in that first set of downs?
I would predict that we see something. I mean, you got to think that it's going to be something kind of like an air raid offense, but with a better running back. So they never had great running backs with that offense, but you've got a guy that you basically your best offensive player as of right now is Jeffrey Wilson, unless Alec Morris goes out there and just lights it up. So I think that you're going to see a hybrid, you know, pass the hell out of the ball, but utilizing your running back a lot. So you might see a lot of swing passes. You could see some screens, stuff like that. I mean, I think that just makes too much. I don't think Seth's going to take the ball out of his running back's hands, but he's going to have to. He's having to adjust that offense a little bit if Graham is going to come in here and do that kind of offense.
I want to tone down the detail a little bit. We do have some SMU fans that do frequent the board and
sometimes get
on the podcast, and they could pass that stuff back over to Coach Morris. So we want to be a little careful.
We do. We are held in that high of regard. I'm sure that we are on the podcast subscription list to the Pony.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, again, we don't really know.
Well, I think, and I was really meaning in general, because we were so used to running the ball, not being able to throw it, let's be honest. We were just always so limited, and it's always very disappointing when we get stymied early on. So I think a lot of people are hoping we're going to see some wide open play, and offensive line is going to play a lot into what we can do, but
yeah,
it's just going to be a total different game for us.
Let me give you an example. Remember when Mac was coaching, how it used to drive me crazy. We would never throw the ball on first down. They finally started changing it, mixing it up a little bit as they got farther along. But I look at this coach and this offensive coordinator, I bet we throw the ball on first down almost every time. I mean, it's just a total different system.
Hey, I'd love to see it. We're looking at a really good game situation. The weather, I can't tell you another first game kickoff at home with the weather.
UNT90 said on the board that it might rain now.
It was, I mean, I saw that earlier.
It's like a 20% chance or something.
Yeah, but it's been a 20% chance every day. I mean,
he
would predict something negative? That's weird.
No, but there is probably a chance, but that is fine. 20%, I'll take, because that just means it's going to be
cloud cover, overcast,
students will be in there. I'm expecting a big crowd. I know there's been a lot of talk about there on the board this week. I really am expecting a big crowd. Yes, it's Labor Day weekend.
Well, give us a number. I mean, I had a poll on Go Mean Green. And
I said 24.
24K. Okay. I said 22.
No, just for 24 people.
Oh, yeah, right.
27.
24. Yeah,
but I agree with you. I think the first game, it's such a huge, and I tweeted this earlier in the week. That first game, you say, well, they might do well. It's very important that they have a good game, because all the students that are there,
I know,
it has an impact on attendance the entire season. I really believe it.
And for the people that say, well, I don't know how many people, not of students there. When the students showed up for that orientation where they went down on the field and got into the UNT formation and took that class picture, if you look at how many, those were freshmen, you look at how many seats they occupied when they were sitting in the stands, it's a huge group. So if you can just get a portion of the other classes there, great group of students. And even though we've been very lackluster, every year the students are showing up.
Yep.
That's changed from when we were all in school there, because the students would show up very seldomly and it was a small group. Those days are gone. So if we can put a good product out there, the rest of the season could be really nice.
What was the attendance at Houston?
When we played Houston, 27, something like that, 28?
Was it 27?
28, something like that. Wow. I can't remember. Somebody looked that up in the chat room.
I was hoping for 25 at the game. I mean, I think that would be awesome. And, you know,
that place is rocking at 25.
It's great. It's awesome.
That's a good thing. You don't even have to have the place packed and it makes a lot of noise. It sounds really great in there. Now, I'm more concerned with the alumni side, and Harry and I discussed that earlier this week. Harry and I went up to Denton this week to kind of just take in, went by the bookstore. I know a lot of people were talking about, they were calling the ticket office trying to get tickets, and the phone was just ringing. Nobody was answering it. Now, you and I were there. We actually went in. I bought some tickets to the Army game. Harry was getting some parking pass. We were getting some stuff done. There was several people there getting tickets, and not just students. There was some students, but there was also people just buying single game tickets and buying season tickets. And the phone was just ringing in the background. So
yeah, it's a good sign.
It was a good sign, but they really should have somebody answering that, because there was a lady that wasn't answering that, and she was putting the displays together. So I'm kind of wondering why she, because I almost wanted to pick it up. It was so loud.
See, I didn't see that. I had perfect. My service was phenomenal.
Okay. So we'll move on.
Gosh, man. Okay. So arrogant.
Now, I did want
to. No, I'm being honest. I didn't notice that.
Except I couldn't spell your name. I'm just giving.
My name is hard to spell, okay?
Dude, he got the
I. Harry.
I saw you just throw that into me.
No, you know what? I mean, there was a lot going on.
Spelling is a topic tonight, by the way.
There was a lot going on, but that was a good sign.
It was a fun trip. We went to LSA. I got to try the queso with the barbecue
the
in
brisket.
It, the brisket queso. I'm not trying to steal your thunder, but
no. I was going to tell the story about. We went to that we went to that warehouse. The old stuff warehouse.
It's where they take all the used jerseys and stuff from North Texas and sell them now.
So if you've got a kid that plays football and he wears probably a 10 or 11, 12 shoe, this is the place to go, because they had all new cleats there that were like $15.
Brand spanking new.
We went through the jerseys, and let me tell you, even if you're not going to buy one, the surplus warehouse, even if you're not going to buy one, you can go in there and just go through all the jerseys, and some of them were real interesting jerseys. So there was a Greer jersey there.
Names from the past. The farther down
was
you
a
dug.
Greer jersey?
There was a Greer jersey. There was a Willie Ivory. There was two Willie Ivory.
He's still out there. I just give his jersey back.
Well, they had a lot of the black jerseys from the Heart of Dallas Bowl, and they had a lot of jerseys. Now the problem is if you're wanting to get one of these jerseys to wear for game day, not so great because these are player jerseys. They're very tight fitting. And they're not like the replica jerseys. These are the ones that are made to fit shoulder pads or anything like that. But it was still cool. I got one for my son who's in eighth grade. I got a medium and it fit him. And my son's not large. So it kind of gives you an idea of how big that these things are.
They're very cool, but even an XL feels tight is my only complaint. I just couldn't. I wanted to buy one, but it's like, man, I can't see myself wearing this. But, hey, man, they looked sharp.
If you're a women's softball fan, they had some softball jerseys, and yes, they had softball helmets there, North Texas softball helmets.
It's definitely worth a visit because there's some real interesting, like, you know, microscopes and, you know, yeah, lathes and all. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah, I'm pretty – if you've been an attendee of the University of North Texas in the past 10 years – you can walk through there, and I'm pretty sure most of those couches will smell like every one of those.
Yep.
I mean, they had all sorts of stuff. So it was interesting, but it's only open on Tuesdays from 10 till 1. So it's very odd hours, but it's a cool place to check out. I know somebody had posted on the board, and that's why I bring it up, because we went through there and dug through the vats. I mean, huge bins of jerseys and stuff.
And you will pay a premium for a black jersey, by the way.
Yeah, the black jerseys were $10 more than the red, but they're all Nike jerseys. Actually, there was an Under Armour jersey.
Yeah.
There was a few of those in there, too. So it was an interesting
trip. There was a Heart of Dallas black long sleeve shirt, too.
Yeah, there was some real strange stuff in there. But anyway, so that was just a quick report on that. The main thing is we wanted to kind of get a feel for what was going on up there. The one thing that I haven't noticed, guys, is in the previous years when it was time to pick up tickets, we'd always get a report in the midweek of the first week from the students. Somebody up there saying, hey, the students are picking up tickets. We're giving away so many student tickets. It's a yes, huge deal. Have we seen any of that?
I mean,
I haven't seen any Twitter feed things on there. I know,
you know, we need a lot. We need to get back hooked up with Brandon, but he's kind of got some other projects going on right now. But if we've got any students on the board and you want to give us some updates, please feel free.
Yeah, I just thought, athletic department was doing it before. I haven't seen actually a lot of tweets from the athletic department.
Well, they are going through that training.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when Ren came in and he's trying to get a feel for everything. So I'm sure they're doing interviews. You know, I'm sure he's probably taking him in, I would imagine. I mean, I'd have no idea, really, but I would assume, you know, going through each person and interviewing them and seeing what they do, the job, you know, and seeing how he's going to maybe potentially restructure it. So, I mean, I think the athletic department right now is kind of, you know, I mean, they're just got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, yeah, I was surprised they put together a website for concessions.
That was cool. I thought that was really nice.
It was kind of interesting. What are the changes this year?
You know what?
Honestly, there was some concern early about the Beth Marie not
being there. I saw Beth
there.
Marie on there, though. I know. Everybody's so a little freaked out. I think that was a false report.
Ice cream haters. But I didn't notice there was any changes in the
I
others.
I didn't see any major
We've gone
changes.
To ice cream. We started with backup quarterbacks, and now we're at ice cream.
Dude, we're trying to cover everything today.
I mean, we're covering all topics here.
It's game week. We know what things look like. We're ready for the game. We got 2 days and a wake up, and everybody's just ready for the game to start. You can talk about what we think is going to happen. I can tell you right now, let's talk about this. SMU. A lot of people don't know anything about SMU right now. What are they returning? They didn't have a great year last year, but what are we expecting to do against them?
Well,
really?
I mean, I think the best way to say it is when Chad Morris did his press conference, he said he had a lot of respect for Seth Luttrell, but he was 21. He, Chad Morris, was 21 months ahead of him in terms of where he is. So you're looking at a program that has had their coach in place for a longer period of time. They've pulled in some good talent. I mean, I was looking through their roster the other day. They're getting some pretty good football players, especially from this area in the state of Texas.
But how much more advanced were they last year ahead of us? I mean, they beat us soundly last year, but we were –
We led the game going into the fourth quarter, man.
That was frustrating.
God, that's right, we did, didn't we?
So, and then with their ending record, I don't think they were that far ahead of us.
They're a better team than they were last year, but we could have beat them last year.
Are they a better team than we?
I think they are. I think they are. Okay, let me put it to you this way: that quarterback that ran all over us in the fourth quarter—he's
pretty good.
He's back. So you know he's there.
Deion Sanders Jr. is not on the team anymore.
Yeah, they were talking about that one day at the special teams meeting. It was pretty funny. Because Perry goes, they lost that guy, right? Oh, well, who cares? it was just really funny. Like,
he wasn't that good.
No, he didn't do too much. But, yeah, I mean, you got to assume SMU is going to be better than they were last year. I mean, Chad Morris is a good coach. He seems like he's going to be a good coach there. So
they've got running backs. Young running back last
year. We've got, you know, and Harry and I were talking about this before the show tonight. You know, one of the things I'd be concerned about is our players being overly amped up. And, you know, it's the home game. They're playing for Seth. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to reclaim some pride that they, or some fans really, that they lost last year. I mean, if I was a head coach, I would kind of be concerned about really keeping their minds open, I guess, and not being overly amped up and really like wear themselves out and get, you know, just going too crazy before the game. I think that's an actual like concern. I mean, you know, he's real big on making them take care of their body, so he's going to want them to be off their feet a lot. You know, and I think that there's going to be an interesting, I'm curious to see how the beginning of that game or the going into the game kind of plays out, what we see on the field. You know, do we see some really, really serious, like, you know, guys warming up, or do we see a lot of, like, you know, jumping around, trying to get hyped up, hands in the air, trying to get the crowd into it kind of stuff?
Well, I tell you one thing, SMU had better bring some fans. That last game, I know it was miserable hot, but that last game, I was so disappointed in SMU. I like this rivalry. I love going and watching a game at SMU. I could not believe the poor showing they had last time they came in.
Look, man, they're going to. This is a totally different coach. They were so downtrodden with June Jones at that time, and that was the worst time to have a game. It was like a radiation experiment on the visitor side. So just mark my words, they're going to have a better – it's not going to be up to what we show them. You know, they'll probably do half that or less than half that, but I do think it'll be a better showing.
Well, they only
SMU
brought several hundred people last time. I mean, it was amazing.
And our people think we brought, you know, 4,000, 3,000 to 4,000 to the SMU game last year and got to watch ourselves lose. So I'm just saying they're still not up to snuff with us, but I think it'll be better than it was last time.
The game last year was a nice – that was a cool environment. It was nice to be at a rivalry game that you had, you know, a good amount of fans at. And, I mean, that was a really fun – I mean, I'm really, really excited about this you know, rivalry we got going on right now. I think that it's
a good thing.
It's interesting that we're both kind of at the bottom right now.
And give Chad Morris credit, man. He talked up, I mean, because he just was very classy about North Texas. And, you know, we think about SMU kind of, you know, putting their nose up or whatever about having to play North Texas and that kind of stuff. And I know there's some of that out there, but I think as far as their head coach, he is really, I think, supportive of this series and thinks it's a good thing. And had nothing but great things to say about Seth Luttrell and Graham Harrell and the rest of the staff.
Yeah, I mean, these two coaches, I don't think Luttrell and Morris are going to hate each other and start, you know, having a war of words on press conferences and through the media and everything like that. You're not going to get that kind of rivalry. But, you know, I still think that I would like them to maybe at some point in time seem like they're enemies. But, you know, we'll probably see them before the game shaking hands and, you know, I'm talking before that at the middle of the field and just, you know, being friendly. But I would like it to be pretty violent, if anything.
Okay, pretty violent. All right, that's a good way to end that. All right, for those of you listening in the chat room, we will go ahead and leave it rolling here for a second while we get Brett on the phone. For those of you listening to iTunes, there won't be a break. All right, joining us on the phone right now is the North Texas beat writer for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me, guys.
So, Brett, a lot of people had a lot of good things to say last week on the big football edition that you guys put out. I guess that went over as well as you expected. Now you can take a week off before you have to hit it for the rest of the season.
I don't really get to take a week off, but it's kind of funny now the way the newspaper business works, or, you know, a lot of different media businesses. That's like the big thing for us, so it's all downhill from here. It's kind of funny because before the season starts is when we have our biggest project, our biggest deal of the year, unless North Texas makes a bowl game. And even if North Texas did make a bowl game like they did a couple of years ago, that publication is nowhere near as big as the one we put out at the beginning of the season. So, you know, it's just nice to have it in the books and done.
So a lot of people got on the record with thinking that the season was going to be a little more positive than I think that they started out the summer with on your get your rear on the record post this week. Are you still coming into the, you know, 2 days here before the first game? Are you still thinking that they could surprise us a little, or what are your thoughts?
Well, my whole thing with preseason projections is everybody, every fan base, no matter the team, by the end of the summer, you've forgotten all the bad things that happened the year before, and everybody's talked themselves into the fact that next year is going to be positive, or at least a little bit better, unless you're, you know, a particularly negative outlook on the team. I just think that's the way it typically goes. And, you know, over the summer, a lot of good things did happen for North Texas. They got a lot of junior college guys that came in, although some of the big-name guys, the guys that were supposed to have the biggest impact, never made it. But, you know, they did bring in some impact junior college guys, kind of look at some of the pieces that they had. You tend to look at the positive end of it, inevitably, and, you know, a lot of people's projections come up from where they would have been a few months ago.
Brett, would you mind giving us your prediction on the attendance for the game, please?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the thing that I found interesting, and I haven't checked in to see, but that this is a certainty, but the word is, among, like, SMU fans and things like that and people that cover SMU, is that, you know, they'll probably bring, you know, they've sold out their ticket allotment, you know, they'll bring their band. There's a lot of positive energy behind them at this point. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of sections full of SMU fans, or maybe even more.
Well, we were just discussing earlier how disappointed we were with, you know, how many fans they brought the last time. Of course, that was the end of June Jones, and things were really down. But they didn't have more than a couple hundred fans there last time. So we're really hoping that if they sold out their allotment, and I don't know what an allotment is these days. I mean, you know, I mean, I guess that's probably, what, 1,000 tickets? I don't know what it is. But if that's the case, then that's pretty encouraging.
Yeah, and I don't know that definitively. I mean, that was just what a few people have said, is that they've sold out the allotment that North Texas gave them. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was kind of the word. And I mean, with what they've got going on down there, they've got a coach going into his second year. They've got a quarterback back. They did some positive things last year, won a couple of games. Things seem to go in the right direction for them, and it's so close. I wouldn't be surprised to see a pretty good contingent of SMU fans show up. That's just my guess, though.
Okay, Brett, real quick, give me a number. You danced around it. How many people?
Oh, you want me to give you, like, an actual number?
Yeah, yeah, number.
I hit 22,000 probably. I think so much of it hinges on the weather. Maybe even a bit more than that, because you got the you know, the new era of North Texas. You got Latrell in, who's done all the right things so far. Maybe they'll hit 23. I'll say 23.
All right. I think that's a pretty safe
Brett's
bet.
On the record at 23.
Brett's on the record at 23. We're going to go ahead and put that. Go ahead and set that out on Twitter. Let's see where we hit.
Hey, Brett. Okay, go ahead, Evan.
No, I was just saying, I think that's – we were talking about the weather's going to be good. It's going to be high 80s, 20% chance. We got some cloud cover. You know, it's the first game of the season, which is always good attendance for us. It's SMU, which is always good attendance for us. So, I mean, the planets are kind of aligned other than Memorial Day weekend. So we'll see how it goes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it does shape up well for what it's worth.
Okay, go ahead, Ashton.
Hey, Brett. All right, lightning round. Do we make a bowl game? Yes or no?
This year?
Yeah, do we make a bowl game?
No.
We don't.
Okay, you don't have to laugh when you say it, Brett.
All right. So you threw out no, but pretty harsh. All right. I'm just curious. I just wanted to check on it.
All right, what other?
It's supposed to be more questions, Ashton. Come
all right,
on.
What? Okay,
just
Brett,
one?
How many passing yards?
He shocked me on that one so quickly. He laughed at it. I'm like, all right, there we go.
All right, Brett, next question. How many passing yards do you think we have this week?
This week? I'll say 225.
225, write that down.
Brett, did the athletic department finally give you a parking pass?
No, I had to get it from unfortunately, our photographer left, but he had his wife worked at the university, so I got it from her.
Oh,
that's good. Hey, it's yours something. Now.
And people get the wrong impression here. It's not. It wasn't the big deal and the big joke about it. It's not the whole deal about parking passes at the game. The whole thing is that then when they revamped the parking system, they always gave me a D pass, which is like for service vehicles and stuff like that, so I could park over at the super pit and go to practice.
Man, I got one of those spots like in the front, like by Ren. Like, I'm just kidding. I got nothing. So I learned not to ask when Brett told me that. Brett told me never to ask, so I just didn't ask.
When they wouldn't renew knew at the parking department wouldn't renew it, and then the athletic department couldn't help me get one. So I finally got one from Dave's wife, because otherwise I was having to keep running back out to the meter to feed the thing. And if you go to practice a couple times, that gets to be kind of expensive after a while. And, you know, we kind of thought it was a joke.
Brett, what pass do you have now?
Well, I don't. I've got the one that Dave's wife.
For the game. Gotcha. So let me ask you a good question. I mean, with the changeover from McCartney to Luttrell, I mean, you were up at a lot. Seemed like you were up at a lot more practices than last year. Was the access different this year?
Yeah, I mean, it changes year to year. I mean, the thing was they opened like the first couple of weeks of fall practice. And then they left open like the first 20 minutes at times, so you could go out there and grab some stuff, which is nice for me. I mean, they eventually did close it down, which is fine. I mean, everybody has their rules about stuff like that. But you know, yeah, I was able to get a little bit more out of practice this year, which was nice.
So, all right, let's get back to the game and expectations here. Obviously, we don't know what we have, and going against SMU, which is built upon what they had last year, which we led going into the third quarter, which was everybody was kind of mind-boggled to remember that whenever we looked at the stats. We couldn't believe we were leading at the end of the third quarter. But do you think – I mean, what did you put out a prediction for this game this week?
Well, I mean, it's a brand new staff, and it's the first game of the year, and, you know, I'm not going to pick against North Texas in that spot. There's no way I'm going to do that. So, yeah, I turned in my morning news picks today, so, yeah, I'm picking North Texas to win.
Nice.
What's the final score?
Oh, I haven't even thought about that. Probably think 31-28 or something.
All right, so there's going to be a lot of scoring.
That's what we wanted. We want more scoring.
I think it's going to be close, personally. I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, and the thing that I find interesting is everybody looks back at that game last year and says, "Well, we were North Texas is leading going into the fourth quarter," and you know, those kinds of things. But I'm going to post about this later in the week on the blog. If you go back and you look at that game too, you can look at that game two ways. You can look at it as, "Oh, North Texas is leading going into the fourth quarter," you know, and then everything kind of fell apart in the end. But if you look at it from SMU's end, how many times did they turn the ball over? They turned it over like the North Texas 1 yard line. They had they dorked the punt at the beginning of the game. I mean, they shot themselves in the foot quite a bit. I mean, if they wouldn't have fumbled and turned the ball over a couple of times, it could have been, you know, it could have, instead of being, you know, 31-13, it could have been 45-13, you know, that kind of thing. So it's one of those deals. It just depends on the way you look at it.
All right, Brett, so we're still running short of time, but I would like to ask you, give me two things here. Who is your offensive player and defensive player to watch in this first week?
Offensive and defensive player to watch. I think you got to look at D. Gordy. I mean, that's the guy that they're really dependent on this year. Luttrell says that he's playing better than he ever has before. He's one of the high – I believe in pedigree, and he's one of the high pedigree guys that they've got. He had legitimate – you know, he was a legitimately highly recruited player coming out of high school. I think he's got some high-end talent. I think that's the guy that ends up being maybe the guy that has the big game for them.
All right.
Defensively, that's a good question.
Mason Fine, probably, right?
Defensively.
No, I know. That's how good he is.
Right. Everybody bashed the hell out of me about that, and I ended up being right. So he, you know, the Alabama transfer with the pedigree ends up winning the job. But I think defensively, I look at Nate Brooks. He had a good camp. Chad Davis is kind of coming off an injury, although he's a good player too. But, I mean, if you're going to have somebody that's gonna come up big for him, they're going to need a big game out of Nate Brooks. That's just my thought.
Davis had a great game last year against SMU. I thought he was one of the better. He really showed up. I was really expecting a big year out of him after that game, actually. So that was kind of a letdown that it didn't. Well, it all got bad. I mean, that's what happens when you go 1-11. But all right, Brett. Well, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, Brett.
Yeah, Brett. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be looking forward to the latest blog updates, and we'll see you Saturday.
And look out! I've got a big story on DeMonte Hood, big feature coming out in tomorrow's paper, the transfer from Kansas State. So look out for that.
Cool. Be looking for it. Thanks, Brett.
He eats an omelet in the first episode of Beyond the Green.
What's that?
He's eating an omelet in the first episode of Beyond the Green.
There's your tie-in. Oh, yeah.
Sweet. It's just an omelet. It's no big deal. It's just funny.
There's your tie-in. All right, Brett. Thanks for joining us.
All right. See you guys.
All right, that was Brett Vito, the North Texas beat writer for the Denton Record Chronicle. And you can always, there's always links to his articles. He's really the only coverage North Texas gets in the print media. I mean, there's a few things here and there, but he's always got tidbits on his blog and articles in the paper. So we're going to take another short break for those of you in the for those of you in the chat room. For those of you listening in, we'll next have up our recruiting guru for a quick update.
All
right, joining us on the line now is the recruiting guru for the University of North Texas, the real JD from the board. A lot of you know he is the man with all the answers on recruiting. So, hey, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What's up, buddy?
That was great, Ash.
Hey,
go ahead.
Hi.
So the guys were like, so we're talking about recruiting on before the first game of the season, but this recruiting thing is seems like it's a year-round, 24/7 type deal now. Why don't you kind of tell us what you're seeing out there as far as North Texas recruiting?
Honestly, like up until this week, I was like, man, it's slow. You know, I've seen UT stay land a couple recruit, quite a few recruits actually, and I was like, you know, it's UNT just shut it down or what? But this week, I've got out, been talking to quite a few people, and there's going to be quite a few recruits just at the game this Saturday. Mm-hmm. And
very nice.
Yeah. Quite a few guys are – and pretty big-time recruits. I mean, I feel like if we landed them, there would be a lot of excitement on the board. They're just kind of waiting for offers. I think from what I'm hearing, the staff is taking their time, kind of like they did with the first recruit, but finding the right guys, not just pulling out offers. And because I pulled back a scholarship offer for the free safety from Temple, I believe, and he's trying to avoid getting too many guys, a couple guys down. They just don't want that, I guess, that look with the staff. So
hey, JD,
they're just taking their time.
We're having trouble hearing you. Hold on a second. It's coming through pretty bad. So hold on a second. Evan's trying to fix it.
Yeah, I can't tell if it's a cell phone or not. All right, so. Obviously, it's a big game to show the recruits. I mean, there should be a large crowd there. It's against SMU. And this part of the season, we get a lot of recruits that might not stay with us because of larger offers, though. But, I mean, what are you seeing as far as hearing is a lot of local guys, guys from Oklahoma? What do you see as being kind of a focus on the coaches right now?
A couple guys I've talked to from Steele are coming. Mostly the guys I've talked to a few guys, like I said, from Steele, and then a couple guys from the DFW area are coming up. The guys I talked to were extremely excited about coming to UNT. I mean, and they were serious about UNT. It wasn't like we're just going to go watch a free game or something along those lines. I mean, they were truly excited, and that was exciting to hear. I mean, it wasn't, oh, we're just going up there to see Steve. And the staff has made connections with several of the guys I've talked to, and one or two of the guys was like, you know, we're waiting for an offer and stuff like that. So it was quite exciting to hear.
I mean, we were talking earlier how important a game this first game is for so many various reasons. But, you know, JD's given us another example of why it's so important. We could win recruits over the way this game goes. I mean, honestly.
You're battling a crosstown rival. I mean, if they're thinking about going to North Texas, they got to be thinking about going to SMU, you know, you think. I mean, so.
Crowd, you know, the atmosphere, all that stuff plays into it.
Hey, JD, quick question for you. I talked to a couple of the coaches recently just about, like, what kind of reception they were getting while they're out recruiting, if it had kind of changed a little bit. And I remember going into the 2015 season, KP and Tommy Perry had said that they were kind of getting some momentum with changing the reception, the perception, I'm sorry, was a little bit different. And people were, you know, kind of responding a little bit more often to them, and et cetera. And then we obviously go 1-11. What's the feeling out there about North Texas to a high school recruit right now?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. From what I've talked to, you know, 1-11 hasn't got brought up. You know, the people I've talked to, from coaches to the few recruits, is you know, it's a new era. Like they've kind of left the 1-11 in the dust. Now, if they go 1-11 this season, you know, it may. You know, come right back. But as far as now, it's a new team, new slate. I mean, the recruits can see that, you know, the coaches, you know, their social media output, you know, they're reaching out. There's more coaches doing it, and I think they can see that just as well as the people that follow the team and stuff. That it's there's a lot more energy. There's a lot more people bringing energy all the way from the head coach all the way down to the graduate assistants. I mean, the staff is hungry, and I think the recruits see that.
So, JD, I know we talk recruiting with you, and you're the guy, but I also know you're a fan. And talk to us about when you're out at that game Saturday, who are some of the guys you're really excited about seeing how they perform?
I was listening to a little of the podcast. I don't know if I'm sure he's been brought up. You know, Anthony Weiss, he's a guy that I like.
Yeah,
you know, his tape comes from the JUCO. I think with his offense, you know, he could be a spark plug and could do a lot of good things. As far as defense, I mean, a guy we've talked about on the board and a guy that I was super high on last year and it just never seemed like it clicked, but I'm looking for him to have a big senior year is Combs. Like, I just feel like he's got the tools. He had big-time offers, you know, I feel like he's got I'm hoping it clicks his senior year.
Yeah, that's a guy that I think is really, everything's kind of in place for him to have a good year. He had a solid camp. He had a good camp last year, but then really didn't show up too much. But I felt like last year he didn't get a lot of run towards the end of the season. I don't know if he was doing anything wrong or if he was maybe nursing an injury that they weren't really reporting. I don't know. But he didn't really – he kind of just trailed off. I mean, the entire team trailed off. But, I mean, he all of a sudden, you know, wasn't really that relevant. But, you know, the whole 1-11 not getting brought up thing, you know, I think that the coaches kind of walked in – And you know, you correct me if I'm wrong, JD, but like I think they kind of walked in and they kind of get a free pass because nobody on that staff is here except for Tommy Perry and Scotty Connolly. I mean, nobody's. So, you know, is that and has that, you know, it's not getting brought up like you said, but is the fact that we have a new recruiting system being talked about by anybody, like that it's that they're seeing a change in how North Texas is recruiting them or their high schools?
I mean, from what I hear, it's you know, there's a lot more. It's not just, hey, I like you, and then a month later, hey, how are you doing? I mean, they're getting kids, they're building relationships, and that's like a big thing that the other staff, that not everybody on the other staff, but I think it was, you know, let's wait till the last minute and try to. You can't build relationships like that. I mean, it takes, like I said, and like Harry said earlier, recruiting just year round. I mean, you've got to start now and build relationships, and I think that's what they've really, this staff has done really good of so far is they're. It's not just a face like, oh, yeah, I've talked to that coach. I mean, I've talked to Coach Perry. I've talked to Coach Davis. I've talked to, you know, and he really, you know, seems like the kids I've talked about, like the coaches really generally care about them.
So, JD, I got to ask you, in terms of this quarterback that we have committed, it sounds like he had a pretty good showing in his first game the other night. Did you have any feedback from that deal, and are we going to be able to hold on to him?
I hope so. From what I hear, I've talked to his people close to the situation, and he seems pretty committed to no new offers have came across since he's committed, but he seems pretty committed to Graham and the staff. But, yeah, he was – I don't have it right in front of me right now, but it was just a couple yards away from tying and breaking the school record, which was set by Ryan Mallett, former NFL quarterback. 5 touchdowns. I mean, it was against Bishop Lynch, but still, I mean, that's like I told somebody on the board the other day, I don't think that any quarterback that Mack brought in the whole time he was here could have put up those kind of numbers with 5 touchdowns and did in the high school game and could have. So I'm pretty excited. He's actually playing – I think in 5 weeks he's playing like 30 minutes from where I live, so I'm hoping to go catch a game live and maybe I can have a little more insight on it.
Hey, JD, why is he interested in North Texas? Is it Graham? Is Graham the main reason, or what's the story there? Do you have anything on that?
From what I've got, it's Graham. It's, you know, playing for the Texas high school legend. You know, the Texas Tech quarterback record breaker. And it's the offense. I mean, I think it's any quarterback's dream to go play in an offense where you've got a chance to put up, you know, Madden-like numbers. And it's fun offense to play in. You know, he's not going to be handing off the ball 50 times a game and, you know, three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. They may do that right at the first of the season, but everywhere Seth went, the first season they haven't went and broke school records. But the second year, the third year, you see those improvements.
Yeah, exactly.
We should mention that we're talking, guys, about Cade Pearson from Texas High and Texarkana. He's a 6'3", 194-pound pro-style quarterback prospect that is looking like a pretty good commit right now, guys.
I mean, JD said something kind of interesting, though. You know, Seth has been able to, in 3 years or 2 years at each place he's gone to, you know, all of a sudden they become a good offense eventually. You know, when you got the Arizonas, North Carolinas, those are just good examples of all of a sudden, like, you're talking about something, you know, you have a viable offensive product there that wasn't there, you know, when he got there. So, you know, I mean, I really hope that we're onto something here with that, because that's the thing that, you know, I almost think that if we lost, you know, every game, we'd be obviously really pissed. But if we were scoring 40 a game, at least it'd be a little bit more fun to watch.
Yeah. It would be fun. Yeah. It would be fun.
And like Seth said the other night, I think he said at the coach's show, you know, when he was at Arizona, when Nick Foles and Gronk left, you know, they had to change it up. They've kind of become a run style offense. You know, that he's going to do whatever fits the team best. If we're able to run the ball, like, we're going to be a running team. We're going to, you know, it's not going to be, we're not air raid, that's all we're doing. If we can't do that, we're going to find some way to get the ball to playmakers in space and do good things.
Well, I mean, awesome. Our best players are running backs. So, I mean, it's got to, you know, I mean, again, right now, our best player that our best offensive player that we all think is still our running back. So, I mean, we got to find a way to get the ball in his hands.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, man, we really appreciate it being with us. And we'll hope to talk to you maybe next week just to see, because I'm sure that there will be some reports of the players that were seen at the game. And
maybe some commits.
That would be really nice, especially after a win. That would be even better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. A win?
Well, I'll be out there at Apogee Saturday, so hopefully I'll see some of you guys.
All right.
Awesome, please come by our tailgate, man. We can't wait to see you.
All right, thanks.
All right, go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green, buddy.
All right, that was the real JD. He is the resident recruiting guru and is amazing to me how much
strong
he knows and how people seem to get excited when he's on. So it's good stuff. So, gentlemen, we are coming towards the end of our last podcast of the season. I can't talk.
Last podcast of the season?
Man, of the preseason. Preseason.
Man, it's already over?
They knew what he meant.
We didn't win any games this year.
They knew what he meant.
I'm working the knobs over here, man. I'm trying to get the fight song playing and keep talking.
Evan is definitely the MVP of this podcast.
For sure.
Wow, I can't keep it together. So, everybody, thanks for joining us. All right, last thing, guys. What do you think the outcome? Give me a score.
48-42 UNT.
All right, Harry.
27-24 UNT.
27-28. I'm going to go 34-31 UNT. So there we go. We've got it on the record. And so for those of you, hope to see you out there. Look on the board. Harry's got a tailgate that he always attends. I'll be over there as well. Please come by and let us know you're listening. And we'd love to meet you, because this is the time when everybody's happy to meet each other early in the season.
Let me add, there's a Google map that has all of the big tailgates marked, pinned on the board. It's at the top of the football message board. So please come to any of us, and you'll be welcome with open arms, and we'll give you food and show you a good time. And
unless you're a recruit.
Hey,
unless you're a recruit, that's right.
And
keeping it honest.
Something I want to throw out there, speaking of tailgating, I'm going to be walking around there trying to get some shots of the first game tailgating, but I also want to get some fan response about, like, first game stuff.
He always says that, but it's always the co-eds he films, and they never make it in there. So somewhere
it's weird, isn't it? It's so weird.
Collection of guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I just said the sound bites weren't very good. You know, was I supposed to be rolling on that
guy? I do Tony's tailgate. I'm going to put a plug in for Tony. You guys have all been there many times, and hopefully I'll see you Saturday. But best meatballs in town over there.
Yes,
Tony's balls are great.
I always enjoy visiting with Tony, but after the game, Tony usually doesn't remember visiting with me.
Well, like to have a good time at the games.
No, Tony
milks the life out of those games, his tailgates, there's no doubt. So, anyway, let's
hey, what's your prediction? You didn't give us a score, did you?
I did, 34-31.
You said 34-31. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so we're good. Hey, man, don't try to throw me under the bus.
I'm not. I just wanted to get your expert opinion. I need that analysis.
All right, we're at 59 minutes and 6 seconds, so we'll end it there. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.